All right, this morning, I want you to go ahead and think about the verse that we have been studying. Really, the subject we've been studying is different divisions and ages in the Bible. And I thought he was already in here. But different divisions and ages in the Bible. And certainly, the verse that we've been looking at more than anything else is 2 Timothy 2:15. And if you don't know that verse, that's a verse that you should memorize. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And, of course, we've been looking at the divisions of the Bible and what the Bible describes as ages. And we started off by looking at the fact that there are three main divisions in the Bible. Of course, we know that we are in the New Testament today. According to the book of Hebrews, that New Testament started at the death of the testator. Okay, it did not start with the birth of Jesus Christ, even though that's where your New Testament books start. It started with the death of Jesus Christ, because where there can be no testament without the death of the testator, according to Hebrews. Okay, and so that was when the New Testament started, is at the cross of Calvary. Before that, we were in the time of law. And that was the Old Testament. Now, everybody thinks that the Old Testament is anything prior to the New Testament. Well, technically, that's not true. Because the Old Testament, if you read the book of Hebrews, started when Moses took the blood of bulls and goats and sprinkled upon the people, upon the temple, and upon the books. Okay? That's when the Old, or the tabernacle, and that's when the Old Testament began. But before that, you had a time that Romans chapter 5 describes as the time between Adam and Moses, okay? And those are the three main divisions in your Bible. Now, you'll also read in the book of Hebrews. By the way, if you haven't read the book of Hebrews, it's a fantastic book, okay? In fact, on Wednesday nights, we're going to start teaching the book of Hebrews, probably this week, okay? But, and when you read the book of Hebrews, it talks about the order of Melchizedek, and then it talks about the order of Aaron. We're talking about high priests, okay? Melchizedek was a high priest. Remember, he was the guy that after Abraham went and defeated a bunch of kings, he came back with their spoils, and he gave this priest called Melchizedek a tenth of the spoils. And that was a priest. But that was before there was a law. Once the law came in, then the Lord said the only high priests are going to be the descendants of Aaron. So you have the order of Melchizedek, you have the order of Aaron. But today, Jesus Christ is our high priest. So that matches your three divisions in the Bible, okay? Now, the reason we're learning this is because that Bible says, "So study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, if the Bible tells you to rightly divide the word of truth, there must be divisions in it, amen? And so we know these are the three main divisions. Okay, here's what we can't do. We can't take something that applied to people here and apply it to people here. You can't take something that applied to people here and apply it to here. That's where people get in trouble. How many of you know today there are people say we got to keep the Sabbath? Well, sorry, that's taking something here and trying to apply it here. There are people today say we shouldn't eat, you know, pork or whatever. That's taking something that applied here and applying it here. All right, so that's your three main divisions. Then we started looking at the different ages. And you say, well, what is age? An age is a period to where God gave man a certain thing to do and expected him to do it, but we also learned that man doesn't do what God tells him to do. Amen? And there are different times or different periods in the Bible where God told man to do different things. Now, it's always been, people's always been saved by grace, always. And they've always been saved by faith, always, and always will be. But would you agree that, now we looked at these different ages. The first age we looked at was the age of innocence. Now that's when Adam and Eve were in the garden before the fall. Would we all agree that things were different then than they are now? I mean, there was no sin in the world. There was no death in the world. I mean, here was man was tending the garden, and he had him and Eve, and all he had to do is do what God told him to do and replenish the earth and have dominion over the whole earth. That's all he had to do. Oh, and by the way, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. How did that age work out? Well, they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, And of course, they were cast out of the Garden of Eden. Every different age ends in a catastrophic event. Every age. Why? Because God has got, in each age, he has man in a position to where when we get done with this earth and this heaven, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 that there's going to be the great white throne, and all those who have died are going to come up before that great white throne, unbelievers generally. They're going to come up before then, and it says the books are opened, and the book of life is opened, and those who are not found in the book of life are cast in the lake of fire. Don't you know that there are going to be people then that's going to be making excuses for why they didn't get saved? Oh, absolutely. Listen, there are people today. I mean, think about this. In today's society, whenever somebody does something wrong, what's the first thing that they do? Try to blame it on something else. You try to blame it on somebody else or something else. They'll say, well, if I had a better environment. I'm not saying that the environment can't add to a person's problems. But what I am saying is it doesn't matter how good your environment is because they had it perfect right there. Amen? And they still blew it. So they won't be able to say, well, if I had a better environment, I would have done what you told me to do, Lord. No, won't cut it, because he'll say, yeah, man had a perfect environment and they still messed it up. So we learned about the age of innocence. Then we learned last week about the age of conscience. Once they were cast out, then it came to the age of conscience. That age began with Cain and Abel. Didn't start off very well, did it? I mean, these people are living according to their conscience now that's been tainted with sin. Started off with Cain and Abel, but it got worse. Because pretty soon you get to Genesis 6 and it says all the imagination of man was completely wicked. And how did that work out? I mean, God says, okay, now listen, since you've already eaten the fruit, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to continue to multiply on the earth, and I want you to just follow your conscience and do what's right. Cain killed Abel. Everybody's imagination was totally wicked. And it says in Genesis 6 that God repented of the fact that he had made man. What does that mean? That means he had a change of mind and heart over the matter. That's what repent always means in your Bible. That he had a change of mind and heart over matter. What God was saying is, he was saying basically when it says it repented him that he made man, God was saying, I wish I'd never made man. How bad does it have to get for that to happen? By the way, the Bible says that just before the coming of the Son of Man in the future, it's going to be as it was during the days of Noah. That, if that tells you anything, okay? We're heading toward that way now. Would you agree? Okay? And so, at the very end of this thing, you know how it happened, how it ended? The flood of Noah. Catastrophic. Only 8 people out. And here's the other thing, too. We were talking, you know, about how things were back then. And, you know, if you think about this, how many people there must have been on the earth back in those days. We think, you know, it's only going to be, you know, maybe a few thousand. Oh, no. If you think about how long people lived here and here. I mean, Methuselah lived to be 969 years old. Everybody else was living to be 800 and 900 and 700 years old. So would you agree, when you're living to be 800, 900 years old, there ain't a whole lot of people dying. Amen? But there's still people getting born. Can you imagine how many people had to be on this earth back then? Honestly, it was probably more than what you have right now. Because the birth rates were there, but the death rates weren't. Okay, and so it ended with the flood of Noah. And that's where we ended up last week when we were studying our dispensations. Now, again, I want to point out that it is very, very important that we understand that when we have an age here, we can't take something that applies to these divisions and apply it to a different division. You can't take something that applies to these ages and apply it to a different age either. For example, here in this first age, age of innocence, God said, "Don't eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Amen? Well, you can't say that was the only rule here. Why? Well, they were cast out of the garden. They weren't even in the garden anymore. Tree of life wasn't there. They didn't have access to the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So what applied here, you can't apply here. If that's the case, then when Cain killed Abel, that wouldn't have been a sin. Why? The only thing they could have done wrong right here was just eat of the knowledge of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You follow me? That's the only thing they could have done that was wrong. And of course they did it. Here, you have people murdering people. You have people with wicked imagination. And you know what God did? God destroyed them because of that. So you can't take something in one age and apply it to another age. Because if you do, that's where almost all the false teachings that are in the world today when it comes to Christianity, almost every one of those false teachings come because somebody took something that was meant for one age and tried to apply it to the age that we're in today. Again, keeping the Sabbath, telling us that there are certain things that we can't eat, those sorts of things. And we're going to see as we progress on these different ages, you're going to see why people teach what they do when they're teaching wrong. Even how many of you know that there are people that are teaching wrong gospels today? You know where the majority of those wrong gospels come from? From a different age. It was true in one age, but it's not true today. Okay? And so that is something that we got. That's the reason why that Bible tells us that we are to rightly divide the word of truth. Anybody today that says that you have to keep the Sabbath, they are not rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay? Anybody today that says you cannot have a ham sandwich or a piece of bacon, they are not rightly dividing the word of truth, and they are missing out on a good meal too. Amen. Okay? Now, the seven ages. We start off the dispensation of innocence, then the dispensation of conscience, dispensation of human government, the dispensation of promise, dispensation of law, dispensation of grace, which we're living in today, and dispensation of the kingdom. And we're going to cover each one of these different ages over the course of the next few weeks. Okay, so today we're going to look at the dispensation of human government. Now, one of the main things to keep in mind about this age, this age of human government, and I'll go ahead and write it here so I won't forget. Oh, let's see. We'll make it. No whispering. Just kidding. Okay. So age of human government, and something to remember about the age of human government is that in this age of human government that we're studying today, it is an age where the two main religions in the world today, not counting Christianity, both have their origins going back to the age of human government. Those religions are the Roman Catholic religion and the Muslim religion. And we'll talk about that just in a few moments, but they both came from Babylon. Okay. All right. Dispensation of human government. Turn, if you would, over to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. And I'm going to give you the verse that is the beginning of this age. Genesis chapter 8. In Genesis chapter 8, look if you would at verse 13. It says, and it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. That marks the beginning of this new age, this age of human government. Okay, and actually, this age of human government is one of the shortest ages in the Bible when it comes to how many pages in the Bible that it's actually covered in. That doesn't mean the age itself is short, because one of the things that we've learned already is just a few chapters in Genesis covers an enormous amount of time, okay? And so this age starts there when the waters are dried up, and then flip over, you would, to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. And we're going to see exactly what God said to Noah and his sons. What was man supposed to do? Genesis 9:1 says, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. There's only two people that the Lord ever said that to. You know who they are? One of them was Adam and Eve. The other one was Noah and his family. 2, okay? And so man was given responsibility by God that that was, again, that they were to populate the earth, and they were to govern themselves based on the knowledge that Noah and his family had. Would you agree that Noah and his family had had a lot of knowledge? Because they lived a long time before that flood ever came. And so they got to see how wicked man could get. Noah would have known much about Cain and Abel. People lived to be a long time back in those days. They would have seen how wicked man could have gotten. They would have seen God's judgment upon this earth. They saw a lot. How awesome would it have been to sit there and talk to Noah? Noah, tell us some stories about what you've seen in life. That would be some wild stuff, okay? And so Noah, they had the knowledge. Now, Noah and his family also had technology of tools and musical instruments. All that had been passed down by those before the flood. They had the knowledge of agriculture. But more importantly, they had the knowledge that was passed down through the ages of what pleased God and what did not please God. Noah's dad and granddad would have talked to Adam about being expelled from the garden. Adam would have told them about the sorrow of having one son kill another one. On top of that, Noah and his family were eyewitnesses of God's wrath and his awesome destructive power. And it was men who were to govern themselves during this, with that knowledge, during this age of human government. And so this age started off with, as it does with all ages, they always start off good, but it gets worse. So it starts off with Noah offering a burnt offering of clean animals to God. And you'd think that man would continue to fear and serve God after what happened on the earth. Wouldn't you think after them seeing the flood and seeing God's judgment on mankind, after Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives being on that ark, hearing people scream as they're drowning to let them on the ark, wouldn't you think there'd be some sort of a fear of God there? I mean, we say, well, boy, if I had seen that, I tell you what, I'd be on the straight and narrow from that point on. Well, yeah, everybody says that, but man did not do well when it come to being obedient to God, because if you read your Bible there in the book of Genesis, you'll find out it wasn't very long after Noah offered a sacrifice unto the Lord that you have Noah getting drunk. That's fine, upstanding citizen, amen. And then you had Ham, Noah's youngest son, looking upon Noah's nakedness, having no fear of God. And in Genesis chapter 9, look what happens starting at verse 24. It says, "And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." And so Noah saw what his son Ham had done to him, and then he cursed Canaan. Now, Canaan was actually the son of Ham. And you may be asking this morning, a lot of people wonder about this, is, wait a second, wasn't it Ham who committed the sin? Yes, it was. Well, then how come Noah cursed Canaan, his son, and not Ham? I mean, what did Canaan do? Well, there actually is an answer to that. There's a great principle in the Bible that you have to understand. That principle is a person, people, or nation that has been blessed by God cannot be cursed by man. A people, a person, a nation that has been blessed by God cannot be cursed by man. Here in Genesis chapter 9, look back at verse 1 and look what it says. It says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth." God had already blessed them. Noah could not curse what God already blessed. So instead of cursing Ham, he cursed Canaan. Okay? And from this point in history, again, it got worse and worse, and man continued to get more and more wicked. Now, there are some things that happened during this time. For example, people in this age no longer lived as long as they did before the flood. Okay, before the flood, like I said, people were living to be 700, 800, and 900 years old. But after the flood, the average age of man at the time of death dropped drastically. Now, Noah lived for a long time, but you start reading you continue reading after the flood of Noah, and you start reading from Genesis 9 forward, You'll notice that each person that lived got less and less and less until we get to today. And today, actually, we're actually higher than what we were in some years past when it comes to the average age. I think the average age of man is like 74, 75. And I think the ladies maybe a little bit higher, 78, something like that. But that's nothing compared to the way it was before the flood. Okay, and so after the flood, once we come into this age of human government, people did not live as long as they once lived. Something else, now eating flesh was allowed, even though the eating of blood was forbidden. There is no record of anyone eating meat before the flood. But what is told to us is back in Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, I'll go ahead and read what it says. In Genesis 2:16, it says, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." So back in Genesis 2, back over here, people were eating. He said, "Of the tree in the garden you may eat." So that's what they were eating. There's no record back here of Adam and Eve ever eating meat. Okay? But now we can't take what's in here and apply it over here. Because if you do that, then you're going to say, well, everybody here has to be vegetarians too. No, you can't do that. You can't take something that was for one age and try to apply it to another age. Now, you say, well, where's the proof of that? Well, in Genesis chapter 9, look if you would at verse 2. Here's what God says to Noah and his family. It says, "And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth." Before this time, the animals didn't fear man. But now once they come into this age, after the flood, now animals are going to fear man. "And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat." So what he's saying is this. He's saying that now, in this age, people can eat meat. They didn't eat meat here, and they didn't eat meat here. How many of you ever heard somebody say, you know what, according to the Bible, we should all be vegetarians? That ain't what your Bible says. In fact, there's nobody been vegetarians since there. So if a person today say it's scriptural to be vegetarians, you know what they're doing? They're taking something for one age and trying to stick it over here. Can't do that. Okay? Can't do that. Why? Because people have been eating meat ever since. Oh, by the way, it was the Lord who ate fish on the shores of the sea. Oh, and by the way, you remember when God came with the two angels to Abraham in the plains of Mamre? You know what Abraham did? He prepared the fatted calf. And they ate it. That's right, God ate beef. Amen. Okay? And so I'm just saying, if you're a vegetarian today or a vegan, that's fine. I'm not judging you. Be whatever you want to be. I mean, if you don't want to eat meat, more for me. Amen. Okay? And so these people were vegetarians before the flood, but after the flood they were not vegetarians. Okay? So not only did people live longer, not only could they now eat meat in this new age, the third thing, there was an establishment of government for the very first time. And that government was given the right to execute the death penalty upon all murderers. In Genesis chapter 9, look at verse 5. It says, "And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." Now one of the things that whenever we're studying our Bible and we're rightly dividing our Bible, if there is something that's in the Old Testament and it never changed, then it's okay to keep that in today's doctrine. I'll give you an example. There are things that God called sin back here that are still sin today. Amen? But there are some things that changed. Now, in the Old Testament, you couldn't eat certain meats. But that changed in Acts chapter 10. When God says everything's there for you to eat, as long as you say as long as you're thankful for it. Okay? So that changed. So now we know things are different. Here, before the age of human government, they did not eat meat. But it changed here. And it never changed back. So guess what? You can eat meat now. Amen? So once it changes, you got to go on. It's the same way when it comes to the death penalty. Right there, God said, listen, if you kill a man, then you're going to be put to death. That's the death penalty. Amen? All right. Did it ever change after that? No. In fact, in the book of Romans, Paul tells us right there that the death penalty is still in force. It never changed. You say, well, I don't believe in the death penalty. I'm not saying whether you believe it or not. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Okay? That Bible never, once he gave that death penalty, not only did it not change, but he also made a point in the New Testament to tell you it's still here. And however you feel about it politically, well, I can't control that, but I can tell you what the Bible says. Okay? And so, again, if you're against the death penalty, okay, that's fine, but I'm just telling you the Bible does not condemn the death penalty at all. Okay? So, we see the establishment of government for the very first time, and in that government, the death penalty is given. Another thing about this age of human government is that in this age, we see the first recorded covenant. Genesis chapter 9, look if you would at verse 12. It says, and God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. Now when he says that, that means from every generation on and on and on and on, perpetual. Verse 13, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. How many of you have ever looked up and saw one of those rainbows or one of those double rainbows up in the sky? Do you realize every time, all of us have, do you realize that every time that you look at that, you know, we know the science of it behind it and all that stuff, but at the end of the day, it's God still who makes that rainbow there. And he's been doing that for a long, long time, all the way since, well, Genesis chapter 9. Okay? And every time you see that rainbow, that's a token of his promise to us that what happened back there in Genesis 6 when he fled this earth is never going to happen again. That's his promise to us. Okay? Verse 14. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all the flesh that is upon the earth. When he says everlasting covenant, he means that he's saying this. He will never, ever, ever again destroy this earth with water. Now, you got to understand that. Because God is going to destroy this earth. He's just not going to do it with water. Okay? He's going to do it with fire next time. I'll show you. Hold your place here and turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Strange thing. Every time I read that about that covenant with the Lord there, giving the covenant with the rainbow, isn't it ironic that one of the sins that is prevalent in the world today is associated with a flag that's a rainbow flag? Isn't that an ironic thing? The very thing that God said, listen, what I did to destroy man because they were totally wicked, in my grace and mercy, I'll never do that to you again. And then for them to hold a flag like that. Irony. 2 Peter chapter 3, look if you would at verse 10. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Now, that's just an awesome statement right there. If you consider that you have the heavens that we have right now where we breathe, that goes all the way up to the atmosphere of the earth, that's heaven number one. Then you got space, which is heaven number two, and then you've got the third heaven, which is the abode of God. And it says here, the heavens which shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. How many of you, remember you were a child and you saw the table of elements and all those different elements on there? They're all going to melt. If they all melt, then nobody's going to survive. Okay? All right. It says, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens shall be on fire, shall be dissolved, and elements shall melt with fervent heat. That is the future of this earth and the heavens thereof. That's the reason when you get over to Revelation chapter 21, it says, and I saw a new heavens, a new heaven and a new earth. Why? This one right here is going to be burned up. Everything that you see on this earth is going to be gone. These chairs, this building, grass, everything's going to be totally burned up. But he won't wipe it out with a flood. Okay? And so that's something else about this age of human government is we have the first recorded covenant. Another thing about the age of human government is that in this age, we see a wicked city with a wicked leader. The city's name was Babel. Later, it's called Babylon. Now, something that you want to write down about the city of Babel is that it is a city that is found in the land of Shinar. Now, that sounds familiar to you. That's because you read it over and over and over. Have you ever read the book of Ezekiel? Because it seems like he's always somewhere in the land of Shinar. And that is where Babel is, okay? And so, so you're going to see that the words land of Shinar mentioned a lot in prophecy. So you want to write that down of where that is. Now, the leader of the city of Babel was a man by the name of Nimrod. And Nimrod was the grandson of Ham, the son of Cush. And Nimrod is considered to be the first Gentile world leader. I'll tell you a reason why. Genesis chapter 10, look at verse 9. Genesis chapter 10 and verse 9. He was considered to be the first Gentile world leader. And Genesis chapter 10, verse 9 says, he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. Now, just as a side note here, has nothing to do with the message, but I do want to point this out to you. And that is, hunters in the Bible do not have a good reputation. Especially bow hunters in the Bible. They just don't have a good reputation. I'll give you an example. Nimrod was a hunter, and he was a picture of the Antichrist. Esau was a bow hunter. He too was a picture of the Antichrist. And then you have the Antichrist himself showing up over in Revelation chapter 6. You know what he's got? A bow. Now listen, I'm not against hunting because I'm a hunter myself. In fact, I'm a bow hunter. I'd rather bow hunt than anything else. I'm just telling you that the hunters and bow hunters don't have a good reputation in the Bible, okay? It seems like every time you find one, he's never a good guy, okay? And so that's just something extra. It won't cost you anything, okay? Then also speaking about this leader Nimrod, it says in Genesis 6, verse 10 here, or Genesis 10, verse 10, it says, in the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh in the land of Shinar. So he has a kingdom. And in this kingdom, you have Babel and these other places. That's the reason, because he has this huge kingdom, and this kingdom included these four major cities, that's why he's considered to be one of the first Gentile world leaders, and he is a picture of the Antichrist. Even in Micah chapter 5, verse 6, Nimrod is mentioned in context with the Antichrist. Now, if you didn't know, the Roman Catholic religion has its roots going all the way back to Nimrod and in the city that he was the leader of. In fact, if you remember when we studied the seven mysteries, how many remember when he studied the seven mysteries? One of those mysteries was Mystery Babylon. And that's over there in Revelation chapter 7. Okay, and if you remember, that Mystery Babylon is tied directly to the Catholic Church. Okay, Nimrod is also mentioned here four times in the Bible, and he's never mentioned in a good sense. We're told out of pride, Nimrod led the people to build a tower that was supposed to reach all the way to heaven, which, by the way, is the epitome of works salvation, trying to get to God by the works of your hand. Okay? That is the epitome of works salvation. Turn, if you would, over to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. Now, in Genesis chapter 11, I'm just going to tell you there is a ton of teachings in Genesis chapter 11. Some of those that came on Saturday during the pastor's class, we studied a long time on Genesis chapter 11. It got pretty wild in here. Genesis chapter 11, look if you would at verse 1. It says, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. By the way, whenever you study your Bible, especially in the minor prophets, you'll find out that one of these days it will be just like that. Once we're on new heaven, new earth, we'll all be of one language then too, but not now. Whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they made brick for stone and slime and they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they having all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the whole earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. So man, when given the chance to live in this age of human government, when man was supposed to remember what had happened before the flood, when man was supposed to take the knowledge of what pleased God and what didn't please God and begin again, populate the whole earth from Noah and his sons, started off with 8 people, and then they started to get more sons and daughters and more sons and daughters, and pretty soon the earth started to get populated. And what did man do? Same thing he always does. He began not to fear God anymore. Here they are, they're trying to get together to build a tower to try to make it to heaven. And so he failed again in this age of human government. And so this dispensation ends also with a catastrophic event when God gave everyone a different language and scattered them upon the whole earth. Again, man messed it up. Man messed it up. All Adam and Eve had to do is not eat the fruit. They ate the fruit, got cast out of the garden. All they had to do here is live according to their conscience. But they didn't. Started off with Noah getting drunk and his son doing something horrible, and then it ends this started off with Cain killing Abel, and then you have the Genesis 6 and all, and the Lord flooding the place, so they messed that up. And then this right here started off with Noah. Here he is, him and his family, eight people, all of them knew what pleased God, what didn't please God. All of them obviously had the fear of the Lord at least one time when they got off the boat, but it didn't last long. And here, by the time you get to the end of that thing, they're trying to build a tower to make it to heaven. Every single age, man takes something that God said, okay, I'm giving you grace. I'll give you grace. Now use it well. Man messed it up. He messed it up here, and God says, I'll tell you what, you messed the first one up, okay, I'll give you grace again. Give you a brand new start. He messed it up. He wipes out everybody at the flood, and then he says, I'll tell you what, I'll give you grace again here. Listen, he could have wiped out all of mankind the second Adam and Eve ate the fruit. Wage of sin is death, but he didn't. In his grace, he allowed the human race to continue. When everybody was wicked in their imaginations always, he could have wiped out the human race right then and there, but God gave grace. Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. And God says, no, I'm not going to wipe out man. I'm going to give you another chance. And he keeps on giving another chance and another chance and another chance all the way through here. Do you realize the Lord's giving you a chance today too? For a person that's not saved today, you realize the Lord's giving you a chance when he doesn't have to? Listen, folks, none of us deserve another chance from God. Amen? But he's given us another chance, a chance to be saved. And boy, has he made it easy. Amen? He did it all for you. These are the ages we're at right now. We'll pick up our next age next week.